They will come from Psalm chapter 32, and it's printed out in your bulletin. You can follow along in there, but I would also invite you to open your Bibles and follow along in that if you see fit. Lord, as we come to you, I'm aware today of my sins, of my shortcomings. And Lord, it's because of your grace that those don't have to define who I am, and those don't have to overwhelm my understanding of what it means to live life. And Lord, as we begin a journey this week towards a great celebration known as Resurrection Sunday, Lord, I believe we're called to come face to face with our shortcomings so that, not so that we give credit to them, but so that we give credit to you for the fact that you can separate those as far as the east is from the west. So God, as we come and we look into your word and we seek to understand more about your grace in light of our sin and the hope you give us, we anticipate a great message from you and seek to give ourselves to you in the midst of this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. This past Wednesday, also known as Ash Wednesday, was the beginning of the 40-day period known as Lent. Lent is a time when many Christians consider their sinful nature, thereby also looking at the need for Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection. So sometimes, and honestly, as because I grew up a Baptist and didn't understand a lot about Lent initially, those two are very important. And there's relationships, just like Advent leads up to Christmas and helps us to prepare for that and appreciate Christmas. Lent, which is the understanding of our shortcomings, the understanding of our humanness, the understanding of the part of our lives that a lot of times we don't like to look at. When we do take time to truly spend time with God about that, it can add meaning to what we call Easter. It can add meaning to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It can add meaning to the resurrection. So we're going to spend the next few weeks looking at various aspects of our sinful nature and what God would have us to understand about that. You may not know a lot about Lent. You may not care a lot about Lent. You may not be interested in participating in a lot of the things people do at Lent. But let me ask you this question. Do you have sin in your life? Because while Lent may not feel like that's very relevant to you right now, really what I want to focus on today is the sin in our lives. And anybody that doesn't have sin in their lives, I invite you to leave right now because it won't be pertinent to you. The rest of us, it'll be relevant for. But if you don't have sin in your life, go ahead and leave. Nobody left. Okay, so we're all here for a purpose. Psalm 92 is David's address to what I'm calling the process of letting go of sin. All of us, because you didn't leave, you're admitting that you have sin in your life. So there's a need to let go of that sin because that sin keeps us from experiencing the relationship that God desires us to have with him. So we're going to spend time in looking in the Psalms, in Psalms 92. And instead of just having one person read all of that, I wanted us to interact with the scripture more. So I've asked various people throughout the congregation this morning just to stand and read aloud just a portion at the time, because I want you to pay attention to this. You can read it in your Bible, you can follow along in your bulletin, you can just listen, but I want these words to sink in. They have meaning, they have purpose. So I'm going to ask if we would start just by hearing verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 92. We have all sinned. And we admitted that. But God doesn't desire us to live in that sin. It's impossible for us to escape from that sin if we never acknowledge our sinfulness. It's not just about doing something right and wrong. It's about being outside the will of God. What is it in your life right now that's bringing separation between you and God? That's the way to think about this. God wants to bless us. And that's how it started out. We can be blessed. God wants to bless us more than what many of us probably are. But sin causes separation. And I remember when I was young, and it was good to start praying. You had to begin somewhere. But I remember quite often just asking God, forgive me of all of my sins. And then I would pray the next night, forgive me of all of my sins. Forgive me of all of my sins. And I still say that sometimes, but I recognize that it's important. I can't just say that one blanket statement and not allow myself to look at what's going on and how I'm living my life and what it is that God may not be happy with. I probably don't have time to spend looking at every single thing I messed up on during the day and everything God's not pleased with me about, but I know one or two things throughout the day that kept me from being who God wanted me to be. And so I need to go there. I need to be honest about that. What is it? What are the sins in your life that you need to pay attention to? Maybe it's giving in to temptation. There's something that you know just isn't right, but you continually give in to that. And you just make excuses for it. Well, I'm just human and it's just going to happen. Yes, you are human, and yes, things do just happen, but if you want to be more where God wants you to be and you ask, He will help you overcome that temptation, whatever it may be. Maybe it's an unhealthy relationship. Maybe you're having a relationship with someone, or there's someone that you're spending time with that you know that is something that's causing you to go down a road that you don't need to go down. Or maybe the way you're handling a relationship that you don't have a choice of being in is unhealthy, and you need to look at that. So maybe the sin that's being involved is about a relationship you're part of, or just one more, there are many. Maybe it's a sin not of what you're doing, but what you're not doing, because God wants you to be about doing something and you're ignoring God's call. And when I say ignoring God's call, don't say, well, that can't be me, because ain't nobody talking to me about going to Africa to be a missionary. God calls each one of us to do something every day, and it's not necessarily leaving the country. Sometimes it's walking across the room. Sometimes it's very simple. And I'm not going to try to guess right now what those things may be for you, but I'm telling you, God calls you to actively be a part of His kingdom every single day. And if you continually ignore that, that's sin, because we're outside of God's will. So God wants us to be blessed. This is what Charles just read. We can be blessed if we're willing to understand that those sins can be covered and we recognize what those sins are. Let's look at the next couple of verses. Don't keep it to yourself is the way I've described it. Sometimes, and I think it's the world that we live in, we're taught to deal with problems. We're supposed to fix ourselves. And there are a lot of people, and rarely do I think it's preached like this, but we still try to live like this, that before God can use us, we've got to get ourselves good enough for God to use us. We're so messed up, we've just got to get everything straight before it's going to happen. And that's not the way it works. Begin a conversation with God now about the challenges that are there, about the things that you know are not where they need to be, in terms of your relationship with God and what's going on with your life, and then God helps you with that. You don't have to fix yourself before you're good enough for God. God wants you to begin that conversation. Now, so don't keep silent. That's what I think I mean by this is don't keep silent about the challenges. Have that conversation with God. Begin now. So where do you do that? You're in church. I think it's an appropriate place. But is church the only place you can have that conversation with God? You know, when you're in the midst of something that's hard, that's challenging, wherever you are, driving to work, fishing, on a boat, having dinner with your family, in the middle of a financial crisis when you're paying bills, whatever it may be, there's no place that's inappropriate to go to God. One of the most recent conversations I had with somebody, the most real experience they ever had with God was in a frat house. During one heck of a party. There is no place that's inappropriate to go to God. How do you go to God? You don't have to have certain words. You don't have to have a theological education. You don't have to know everything there is to understand in Scripture about God. But you can have a conversation with God just like we have with each other. Now that may be kind of weird. How are you going to talk? What is somebody going to think if I'm here talking? I don't see anybody. So that can be difficult sometimes, but try it. Begin. Maybe it's writing down in a journal and then anticipating what it is God's going to say back. Another thing that I find helpful is using Scripture. If there are challenges that you're facing, look at Scripture. Scripture is the living Word of God, and so God speaks through that. And not only can you read that and see what the Bible says, but I believe God, because God knows who you are, God knows what you're going through. He can take those words in the Scripture, and it's as though those words were written exactly for you, and you understand what it is that God's saying in that moment. Scripture is powerful, so I would invite you to make that one of the ways that you come to. Instead of being silent, go and ask that. And then when do you do it? There is a time that's the best time to do it. When do you go to God? Now. Don't wait. There's not a reason to have to wait. Now, if there's other things you got going on, God can be amidst of that. God, I've got this going on. That's a deadline. This stuff has to happen. God can walk beside of you in the midst of that and not be a distraction. He can give you strength. He can give you hope. He can give you purpose. He can help you look forward to maybe when you have a time you can sit down and have a more distinct conversation about what it is that you know, but you don't have to wait for that time. God is right there beside of you already. All you have to do is acknowledge Him. So do it now. Don't wait. Because Satan loves... How many of you are busy? Raise your hand if busyness is a part of your life. All right, you can put your hands down. Satan uses that. Satan uses it because we know we're supposed to go to God. We know we're supposed to have conversations with God, but we're going to wait till we're not so busy to do that. So when are you going to get around to spending time with God if you wait till you're not busy, till you don't have something that you need to do? God needs to be a part of all of that busyness, and you know when He's a part of it, that busyness doesn't become so overwhelming because that busyness begins to have purpose. And that's what happens when we allow God to be a part of a conversation about the sin that's in our lives that's trying to pull us in directions that God doesn't want us to go to start with. And a lot of times that sin doesn't look bad or evil or ugly. It's disguised into something that looks good or nice or appropriate. But if it takes us away from where God wants us to be, it's sin. So busyness is one of Satan's biggest tools. If it keeps you away from your relationship with God. So, let's look at the next verse. Confession. So, we admit that sin. We're talking to God about that sin. But specifically, we need to confess the sin. We need to tell God, I have done this. I have fallen short. This is the way I've hurt you. This is the way I've hurt other people. This is what I've done when I knew I wasn't supposed to do it, God. Why do we have to tell him that? He already knows it. All right, let me ask it a different way then. Why is it so difficult for us to say it if we know he already knows it? Why is it difficult for that to come out of our mouth? Why is it difficult for us to interact with God, to truly confess to God what's going on? When you answer that, you answer the reason as to why he wants us to do it. Because there's a greater sense of accountability. That's the difference in me praying at night, God, forgive me of all my sins, and praying there and weeping because I begin to experience the pain of the sin that I've had throughout the day, and realize with greater certainty that that's not where I want to live and that's not where I want to be. And yes, I want God's grace to be able to take me to a different place. Confession is good for the soul. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from righteousness. Confession sounds like a pretty good thing. I didn't say it was easy, but it's good. But I want you to see something else. This is something that I discovered a few years back, and it really set with me in a powerful way. In James chapter 5, verses 16, it's going to talk about confession, but not just confession to God. Not just confession in a private place where nobody else knows what's going on. Listen to this. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now it's getting even more challenging. Because some of us, it's hard even to have a time of confession to God. When it's just God and us and we're trying to be honest and talk about our shortcomings and where we've messed up and where we know we need to be doing things differently. But it says in Scripture that not only are we to do that, but we're also to confess to each other. What does that really mean? I think it's going to be different in different situations, and I think God leads in that. But the bottom line is, as the body of Christ, we're supposed to be able to help support and encourage each other in moving along the path God desires. And if we're truly living life as God desires, if we're being the body of Christ, we know challenges that are going on with each other. We're living life. We aren't just showing up on a Sunday morning with a mask, pretending everything's okay. It's been a great week. We've maybe been a little busy, but things are good, and we're going to head back, and we're going to do the same thing next week. No. If we've spent life together, we know when it's been hard. We know when it's hurt. We know when we fall and landed flat on our face, and the person beside of us has, and we know when that person needs to be picked up. So it's in the midst of those things that we go and we lay before our brothers and sisters in Christ the struggles that we're facing, and we lift up and support each other. And because of that confession before them and before God, we're able to have strength and support that we're not going to have otherwise. Scripture says that. So, confession results in forgiveness. You can't be forgiven if you don't ask for it. Confession results in forgiveness, purity, and healing. I love that last part of that. It says that pray for each other so that you may be healed. And there's physical healing that happens. I had a conversation about laying on of hands this past week and what that looked like, and people asking me scripturally what that was about the Bible. So I've spent some time looking at that. So there is physical healing, but there's also just as important as spiritual healing. Satan loves to break our spirit, but God wants to heal that. And prayer is a powerful tool for that to be done. Let's look at our next set of verses. So here Charles is talking about prayer, but we've done all this confessing stuff. This is the prayer we needed. That's what's really important. So what is this type of prayer about? It's talking about praying. It's talking about protection. I believe that once we reach a point that we've truly confessed and we've opened up, not that God knows us any better, but we're understanding more where it is God desires us to go, we're able to pray differently. And so as we pray, we open up. Our prayers become something different because we've come to terms with who we are and what we're dealing with, and we know God desires to be a part of that. And so then the prayer specifically is talking about here is a prayer of protection. And I believe there are times that we can be aware of the challenges that we face and that we need protection, and we can pray for that and ask that and know that God's going to be a part of it. But then there's also a different type of protection too. We can pray for protection from the plans of Satan. The things that we've already confessed and knowing that Satan wants to pull us back there, and those things are going to be harmful to us, and we want to be protected from that. And God can do that, so we continually enter into prayer with God about that, and we understand and know God's love in the midst of that in a way that inspires us to make the decisions before we've made the mistakes to have to go and confess the same thing over and over and over again. So it works. Confession works to take us to a different place in our relationship with God, to enable us to pray in a different way, to be more aware of what's happening in our lives and what God's desiring to do, to avoid those pitfalls. So there we get, just like Charles Umbarger talked at the beginning, we get to be more blessed in our lives in the way God desires us to start with. Let's read the next three verses. I describe this as instruction and guidance through love. Once we're more aware and therefore able to let go of the sin in our lives, we're talking about letting go of sin. This is what I think this whole chapter is about. All of us have said we're sinful. There's sin in our lives. God needs to let go of it. How is that going to happen? This is what this passage is about. It's about letting go of that sin. Once we let go of it, we're in a better position to receive God's instruction. When sin is prevalent in our lives, we're more likely to respond to God's instruction with resistance. Did you see what the visual was there, what was being talked about? Do not be like the horse and the mule, which have no understanding. I've never done this, but I'm just curious. Is there anybody in here who's ever tried to direct a mule to go somewhere and it didn't want to go that direction? Anybody ever? Is Dave Miller the only one that's had an episode with a mule? All right. And so there's challenges there. And if you think about it, even if you've never done it, you can picture how difficult that would be to get an animal like this who's stubborn to go in a direction that you know they need to go, but they're just going to fight you. That's what we're compared to in this verse, in the scripture, and saying, don't be like that. And I believe when we're aware of our sins, when we've confessed it, when we understand what's going on in our lives, we're more pliable. We're more responsive to God's instruction and direction. And it's not just a list of rules, because we understand God's doing this because He cares for us and He loves us. And so that guidance and instruction comes out of an understanding of God's love in our lives. This doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't happen at one time, but small steps make a big difference. And you know, some of us are just really stubborn. But even if we just let go a little bit of that and begin to take steps, we begin to see the results. And as we pay attention and stay in relationship with God and continue to be aware of the shortcomings in our lives and have conversations with God about that and confess that, it changes who we are. And before you know it, we've made it a lot further down the road than we thought just by putting one foot in front of the other. And you want to know what that results in? Let's read the last verse of this chapter. rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Lent is often viewed as a dark, negative, depressing time by some because it's focused on sin, it's focused on evil, it's focused on Jesus' suffering. So yes, it's not a fun time most of the time. The topics don't tend to be ones that get you excited and put a lot of smile on your face, but in reality, it should. Because while these are the topics, it's not really what everything is about. The focus on our sins and shortcomings, our confession, and the freedom that comes from recognizing that Christ died on a cross for this is not something we have to wait for Resurrection Day to celebrate. Every one of us has a reason to rejoice and be glad today. And yes, I think it's appropriate. I think one of the things I'm going to try to do is spend more time between now and Easter or Resurrection Day really paying attention to where it is that I fall short. But I'm not just going to harp on that every single day. I'm going to have conversations with God, and you think God's going to say, yep, that's another one. Yep, that's another one. Keep them coming. Tell me some more things you've done wrong. Keep on telling me. How bad are you? Is that what your God and my God does? No. When we come to him and we tell that, he says, yes, I'm glad you've recognized that. Let me help you with that. Let's grow. And then there's a peace, there's a freedom, and it enables us to experience joy, to rejoice and be glad every single day in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the hurt, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the sin that we're beginning to let go of. And you know, it comes to a climax. If you've never done that, if you've never really been open and confessed in that way, and you make a commitment in the next few weeks to do that, I promise you Easter is going to be different for you this year. Because it's not something we just do as symbolic to think about and talk about this man that loved us enough. He died on a cross and he said he loved us and then he rose again. He did that. He really did that for you and for me. And when you've spent time thinking about it, being honest with yourself about the shortcomings and where you really needed it, because if you haven't thought about it and we get to Easter, it just sounds like a good time to wear a bunch of pretty dresses and nice new clothes and come to church and see a bunch of people. Easter is about our lives being changed because of the stuff that's in it that God wanted to get rid of, to set us free of, so we can live the life God's called us to live, to be free, to rejoice. That's what Easter is. But we can't go there without realizing the price Jesus had to pay and why he had to pay it for us. I'm going to ask the musicians to come up and we're going to have a time of closing. Where are you today? Where are you in your life? We all have sin in our lives, and I want you to take some amount of time to think about where those shortcomings are and how is it that you're going to have that conversation with God. You can begin it right now. And at least initially, nobody else has to know about it, but Bible says, Scripture says, if you're going to get serious about it, there's probably going to be somebody in the body of believers that you're going to have being a part of help to hold you accountable. Because it's so easy to slip back again. And you've done it. I've done it. And God will lead you in that. It's not about airing our dirty laundry. That glorifies Satan, not God. It's about being true to who God's calling you to be and recognizing how God wants to help you get to the next place. And quite often, it's allowing another brother or sister of Christ to travel that road with you. And God will reveal to you how that's supposed to happen. But think about today how you're going to be honest, true to yourself. Take off that mask, especially when you have time with God. He already knows what it looks like behind there. It's not going to change him. It'll change you, and it'll be for the better. Stand together as we sing, What a Friend We Have in